This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
So on Sunday, it'll be Washington versus Baltimore. I know some of you consider this to be a rivalry game. I don't. More on that in a moment. Dan Quinn was asked by Sam Fortier yesterday if he considers Washington versus Baltimore a rivalry game. Here's what he said.
You know, for me, first, you know, kind of getting here and getting started, I didn't naturally think of that coming in because of the division and the history of what the NFC East, you know, has been so much with the teams that way. So that was probably the first thing I thought with rivalries with Washington of the NFC East. I think there's always a connection when cities are, you know, closer by, but the fact that we're not in the same division and the same conference, you know, for me, my first, you know, time playing Baltimore as a commander, my first thought was the East first.
Love that answer from Dan Quinn. It is an answer that, you know, reflects self-awareness, reflects understanding the NFL historically. One of my first thoughts when I heard him answer that question, and it's a bit, it's a bit sort of picking on the former coach, but I just kind of felt like Ron Rivera would have answered that question. Yes, definitely it's a rivalry, because he would have thought that's what people would have wanted to hear. There's nothing political with Dan Quinn. I think that's the one thing we've learned. Straight to the point, honest, not always straight to the point, but honest, and self-aware and informed. I do want to have this conversation, and we'll open it up on the phone lines at 301-230-0980. My personal view is that most long-standing fans find this topic just silly to even discuss, because in my opinion, of course, it is not a rivalry. All right, Ravens, Redskins, Ravens, WFT, Ravens, Commanders is not an NFL rivalry. Okay, the proximity of the two teams is great, and it creates kind of a fun little, you know, trivial debate as to, oh, are you a Ravens fan or are you a Redskins fan? Are you a Ravens fan or are you a Commanders fan? You know, and that's been going on for years, especially in places like Howard County and Frederick County in particular. You know, even in recent years in places like Montgomery County. It's kind of neat to label it the Battle of the Beltways or the Battle of the Parkway. I can't believe how many times I hear people refer to this game, by the way. Oh, it's a Battle of the Beltway. No, we don't share a beltway with Baltimore. They have their own beltway. Theirs is 695. Ours is 495. We don't share anything, actually, in common with Baltimore. All due respect to Baltimore, they're just completely different cities, as we all know. There's a lot about Baltimore I love, including the people, actually. And, you know, so many great places to eat, so many great places to hang out. Baltimore is a great city. It's just completely different from Washington. And let's face it, when it's come to kind of sports and other things, you know, there has been more of an inferiority complex with Baltimore people versus, you know, Washington people. There may be a rivalry between the cities, but not the sports teams. You know, you're just trying to make something up if you think actually longstanding fans that have been here for more than a minute have any real feelings for Baltimore. You know, I think right now the feuds that we've been involved in for, you know, decades upon decades, it's like, let's get those back to where they were, like the real rivalries. You don't have a rivalry with a team in the opposite conference when you barely play that team. Washington and Baltimore will play for the eighth time since the Ravens moved from Cleveland to Baltimore on Sunday. None of those games were super significant, really, at any point. You don't play those games against teams outside of your conference. It's rare to have a rivalry with teams not in your division. It happens. You know, the 49ers and Cowboys certainly had a rivalry, and there's certain feelings that those two fan bases have for one another, given all of the significant games they've played against one another. New England and Indy for a good stretch had a bit of a rivalry with Peyton versus Tom Brady and all the big games they played. Go back to the 70s, my God, Pittsburgh and Oakland. The Raiders and the Steelers, that was a fierce rivalry, even though they weren't in the same division. But your top rivalries are with teams that you play on a regular basis twice a year. They're the teams in your division. No Baltimore fan would ever say that Washington's a big rivalry. Pittsburgh is their rival. The Ravens and Steelers have had a top five rivalry, probably higher than that, probably top two or three over the last 20 years. Ravens-Steelers games have been so significant. Anybody that suggests to you, seriously, that this is a big rivalry, oh man, renewal of a feud, long-standing feud, is new to this. They're just new to this. Our feelings, well, let me just speak for myself. My feelings are always about Dallas, Philly, and the Giants. And man, the nature of that has diminished because we've sucked so bad for so long. So those teams kind of view Washington as maybe like I'm trying to think of a good example. Maybe in different divisions, the way perhaps I'm trying to think of a really good division with a bad team for a long time. You know, maybe the way AFC South teams view Carolina. You know, is there a real red hot rivalry in the NFC South with Carolina? We've kind of been Carolina. We've been Cleveland. You know, we've been bottom barrel. And so the Cowboy fan is more focused on the Philly games. The Giant fan more focused on the Cowboy and the Eagles games. But that's what I want back. I don't want a rivalry with Baltimore. I mean, if you ended up ever having a legitimate rivalry with the Ravens, it would be because you played in the Super Bowl multiple times against the Ravens. So if that's how we get to a rivalry with Baltimore, I'll take that. But we got to get back to the tradition, the history, the memories with our true rivals. You know, in this city, the most heated rivals have always been the rivals of our football team, with one exception. The Caps have a legitimate, long-standing rivalry with Pittsburgh. You know, in college, Georgetown's had a long-standing rivalry with Syracuse. Maryland had that with Duke in basketball. No longer. So, you know, the Nats don't have a true rivalry. When the other team doesn't feel about you the way you feel about them, it's not a rivalry. The Phillies are much more interested in their games with the Mets, who they just lost to in the postseason. You know, the Wizards don't have a rivalry. People tried to make something of the few years they played the Cavs in the playoffs. That's not a rivalry. The football teams had rivals. The Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles, there's blood that's been spilt. over this thing. There's incredible nostalgia. There are incredible memories. You're talking about fan bases that know so much about each other. I mean, we know so much about the Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys. They know so much about us. We have this shared history. I mean, the four fan bases, if we got together and somebody held some sort of, you know, annual get-together of the NFC East fans, I mean, imagine how much fun actually that would be. To sit down, have a few beers, eat some food, and talk about the games and the players. And by the way, here's the other part of this. We're a part of a division, the NFC East, that is a brand in sports. You know, there are only a few divisions / conferences that are actually brands. SEC football, ACC basketball, Big East basketball, you know, Big Ten football, the AL East, the American League East, and the NFC East. You know, those are the ones that are truly, they're brands. Everybody, I mean, Dan Quinn spoke to having been in the NFC East as a coordinator, but understanding this division and the history between the four teams in it is special. And it's rivalry, you know, between the four teams. That's a real rivalry. Baltimore's not my rival. They're never going to be my rival. You know, the Orioles-Nats games don't mean anything more to me. Look, do you want to say that there's some bragging rights on, you know, for your neighborhood because there are a bunch of Ravens fans in the neighborhood? You live in Howard County, you live in Frederick County, and it's kind of been split, although really I think in recent years it's gone more Baltimore in Howard County. I don't know about Frederick County. I think Frederick County is probably still more Skins fans than Ravens fans. So in terms of that, you know, the back and forth in terms of, you know, hey, I'm flying my flag and you're flying your flag and our teams are really close. But if you ask that person that says, hey, it's bragging rights for the neighborhood, if they hate Baltimore more than any of the three division teams, they're actually not a legitimate longtime fan. If you're new to the market and you've seen the Ravens, you know, be so great and Washington trying to chase them, fine. But not a rivalry. Not even close. The Jets and Giants are not rivals. They play in the same stadium, for crying out loud. The Raiders and 49ers, you know, when the Raiders were in Oakland, weren't rivals. The Raiders had the Broncos and the Chiefs as rivals. The 49ers had the Rams as a rival. And really, in for a long time, the Cowboys, you know, again, one of those rare examples of a within the conference rivalry. The only interconference rivalry ever that you could, and it wasn't even legitimately a rivalry because they just didn't play that often. But the Steelers and the Cowboys, they played each other in multiple Super Bowls, three in total. It's the most matchups of, right, any Super Bowl matchup in NFL history. I think no one else has had three. And, you know, when they played those two Super Bowls in the 70s and then they played another one in the 90s, you know, Cowboys-Steelers, when they did play once out of every 3 or 4 years, it was kind of a big game. But, like, the game they played the other night, Dallas-Pittsburgh, you know, has some cachet to it. Baltimore-Washington doesn't. Does this weekend, because it's a big game in the NFL. Denton, you're much younger than I am. Do you view, as a Washington fan, Baltimore as a rival?
Not really, no. I think, like, there might be, like, some sort of city rivalry, but I don't think that's ever really translated to sports itself. I just, like, you know, you think, like, oh, we live in D.C., which is a way better city than Baltimore, right? But, like, I've never viewed it as – it just is. I've never viewed it as a rivalry on the football field. If it's a rivalry, as you have mentioned, what's the biggest memorable moment? Like, you have to have some sort of moment right. that makes it a rivalry.
Bolody Nada knocking out RG3.
I wonder if Baltimore fans even remember that, though. Like, do you think you could ask the average Raven fan –
We remember that.
Right. So, like, there has not been a moment between the two fan bases where you're like, all right, we got beef with them. Outside of just the, hey, Baltimore's the little brother to D.C.
Right. Completely agree. I do think, go back and look this up. I think I have this right. When Washington beat Baltimore, I think they beat him in 2000, the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl. Was the Ravens' last loss to Washington that year? I think it may have been.
If that's the case, they would want to lose to us this year because the last loss was in 2012 to us, too.
But you said it the best. There is definitely a sense of, you know, rivalry between the two cities in a lot of different areas. It has not carried over to the sports teams. I don't think anybody in Baltimore views Washington as a rival in football or in baseball. And I don't personally, as a Washingtonian, view Baltimore's teams as a rival. Hell, I've looked up to the Ravens organization all of these years. I've wanted Washington to get rid of Snyder and get an owner like Bisciotti and have a general manager like Ozzie Newsome. I've wanted that. You know, I found myself at various times rooting for the Ravens because I respect them so much. They're an organization that actually reminded me of what the Redskins used to be, you know, three decades ago. I've never felt disdain for the Ravens. By the way, I didn't feel disdain for the Colts. In fact, I loved Burt Jones. Burt Jones was one of my favorite players. They weren't a rival. The Colts weren't a rival. You know, maybe for people that are in their 70s and 80s, maybe they can tell me that Unitas versus Jurgensen in the 60s was, you know, great. And by the way, the Colts were an NFL team. You know, they were in the NFL, so they played Washington regularly. So maybe you go back to, you know, those years, 50s, 60s, before the merger, maybe Baltimore, Washington had something. I'm not old enough to remember those games. But I don't think it's a rivalry.
You were correct in that Washington beat Baltimore in 2000. It was not their last loss, but that game was a track meet.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it was a track meet in week 7.
No, it was a low-scoring game.
Wait, it was a 10-3 track meet.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you're being sarcastic.
Yeah, I mean, they lost 3 games
in a row. Yeah,
because
I remember it being a very low-scoring game.
There were not a lot of teams. If you look at this Baltimore, obviously we know how good that defense was. There might have been 2 teams that scored 20 or more points. 3 teams, rather, that scored 20 or more points on them in their regular season.
Baltimore's defense was ridiculous. Then am I thinking of 2001 Washington's win? What year? It wouldn't have been 2001. It would have been 2003. Was New England's last loss against a Spurrier-coached Washington team before they went on to win every other game and then won the Super Bowl?
Maybe I'm thinking 2003, because that did happen in Baltimore in 2012. That RG3 year, that was their last loss, and then they won out, and then they won the Super Bowl.
That was their last loss?
Yeah.
And I think the Giants won the Super Bowl. No, with maybe Washington being their last loss, too. Who cares? That's loser talk. We weren't the ones winning the Super Bowl. Let's get to the phone lines. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Rivalry or not, Baltimore and Washington. We'll take your calls next. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable. fighting. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I did look it up. 2003, the Patriots' last loss was to Washington. Then they went, it was week four, they went on to win the Super Bowl. And in 2011, the Giants' last loss before they went on a road, went on a run, to win the Super Bowl was against Washington. BFD. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I did put out a poll at Kevin Sheehan DC, Window Nation Twitter poll of the day, X poll of the day. Do you consider Washington-Baltimore an NFL rivalry? And I love the answer so far. Overwhelmingly, 86% so far say no. And the comments that you all have are good ones, essentially saying, look, there's a bit of a rivalry between the cities, not between the sports teams. That's my feeling in general. Just too hard to have a rivalry with a team that you play so infrequently. And I thought Denton put it really well when he said, like, if it's a rivalry, what are the memories? You know, what's the tradition? What's the memories? What are you nostalgic about? Nothing. You don't have anything. You know, there are older people, I get it, when Baltimore was in the NFL before the merger in 1970, where the Colts and Redskins played every year, and I think sometimes maybe even twice a year. That's different. That hasn't been the case for now 54 years. But anyway, let's go to Robert in Annapolis, who is a Ravens fan. Robert, what's up?
Well, more appropriately, I'm one of those old people. Not between the teams, certainly, but in certain geographic areas, like here in Annapolis, there is a bit of a rivalry between Ravens and now Commanders fans, even within my own family and my
social
circle.
But it's a rooting rivalry. It's which
team
you root for.
It is. It's not the rivalry, you know, and the thing in the family gets pretty intense. But anyhow, but you mentioned it, yes, back in the 60s, between the Colts and the Redskins, they wouldn't have played twice a year because they were actually in, somehow Baltimore was in the Western Conference.
Yeah, right.
But they did play once a year, and there was a bit of, as well as between the Orioles and the Senators, and for what it's worth, the Baltimore
team.
They were
in the same division.
They were in the same league, American League. I'm talking back in the 60s. They didn't have divisions back then.
That's true. Okay.
Well, Baltimore, the Senators and the Orioles have a bit of a rivalry, and the Colts and the Redskins did as well. And for what it's worth, the Baltimore teams used to beat the Washington teams like a drum. But what I really want to also say is you guys got to get over yourself about this inferiority that Baltimore fans may feel up towards you over there. But where's the best venue to be on a nice Sunday? Down at M&T, beautiful M&T by the near the harbor, or out in that steel dump in Landover? Come on.
It's not even about that. It's just about, you know, there just seems
it's
to be a little, you know, little brother, big brother thing.
Now, you're
by
no
the way,
big
the Orioles
brother
and Senators
to me.
Were
what
in
you
the same
you may be taller than me, but you're no big brother to me.
Robert,
and
the
and
Orioles
look,
and Senators
yeah.
were in the American League East in 1969, which was the season okay. that Ted Williams managed the team.
That's actually when they 69 was the first year
yeah.
that they had divisional. You're right. But I'm thinking back in the 60s and okay. the early days.
Right.
But anyhow,
but again,
by the
like
way,
you said, the Colts and the Redskins were in the same. They were in the NFL, so they played
right,
regularly.
Right, and there were fewer teams, so the Western Conference would play. They
right.
play each other twice, but the Eastern Conference they play once. Quick comment on Sunday's game. This is really not a critical game for either of these teams. It has a lot of pizzazz to it, but both of these teams are going to go on and be playoff contenders going forward. But it should be an entertaining game. It certainly has the most cachet to it with those two quarterbacks.
Yeah. It definitely
good luck to you guys. We'll talk Sunday. If we lose, I'll come in and take my medicine. But if we win, I'll come in and give you some helpful tips.
Thank you, Robert in Annapolis. Joe in Springfield, is it a rivalry or not?
Hey, Kevin. is not a rivalry. I mean, we play them, what, every 4 years? And it's like this. And like you said, and I agree with you, and then there are no memorable games against each other. And, it, Kevin, it's funny. I mean, when I've gone to do some shopping in, like, the sports stores in Fairfax, for example, and I'm looking for Ravens gear for, because my sister's a Ravens fan, and they look at me and be like, well, they're not considered local. I'm like, what do you mean? You have Orioles gear up. And they said, they're not considered local. And I said, guys, the Ravens play in the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. So, yes, it is part of it. I mean, we always talk about the Maryland Terrapins all the time. They're local. So
but Baltimore is not part of the DMV. The part of Maryland that's considered the DMV are the areas that are part of the metro, you know, metropolitan statistical area, the MSA. Frederick County and Howard County would be the closest to Baltimore that would be considered. Baltimore is not part of the DMV, Joe. You understand that. It's a completely different
city. I agree, but if you have Orioles gear at sports...
Yeah, but the Orioles were Washington's team because we didn't have baseball for 34 years, and Washingtonians... especially Marylanders in particular, adopted the Orioles. Something, by the way, Baltimore fans did not do when they lost the Colts. Some did, because we hear from them on this show occasionally. But Washington became huge for the Orioles when they didn't have baseball. It's why they fought so hard for years, Baltimore ownership did, to keep the league from expanding or moving Montreal to Washington. They were never for it. So the Orioles have always been, I think much more the Nats now, obviously, but I still have a lot of friends my age that are big Orioles fans. Anyway, thanks, Joe. Let's go to Ben in Annapolis. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I agree with you. It's not a rivalry on the field, but I'm 47. Skins haven't been good since I was in high school. So it's like locally here in Anne Arundel County, you go in a store, everything's Ravens. Cupcakes, Ravens, beer cans, Ravens. It's just overwhelming. Ravens stuck in your face constantly. So I don't hate them as much as Cowboys, Eagles, but I root for them to lose every Sunday. I can't root for the Ravens, so I hope we kick their butt on Sunday, and thanks for the call.
Yeah, and I think you live in that, you know, in that true area where there's a rooting rivalry, you know, not a, oh my God, this is a blood feud rivalry. Can't wait for the two games we play against you each year. It's like, you know, you are in that dividing line area where it's actually been more Ravens over the last 20 years. Let's go to Rob in Frederick. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I was just going to say that you said Frederick is probably 50-50. You also got.
I thought it was more Washington. You live there. You tell me.
That's what I was going to say. Right now, I think it's probably split between Steelers, Ravens, Washington, and, hate to say it, Cowboy fans.
Yeah.
I think it's down the middle. I think it's down the middle now.
Okay.
Up there.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys fans we know are everywhere. The Steelers thing with Frederick County, that's not Western Maryland, as you know. Garrett County, Allegheny County, those are the counties that are truly Western Maryland. And by the way, Garrett County closer to Pittsburgh than it is to Baltimore or Washington. And there's always been a lot of Western PA that, you know, has real estate, owns real estate in Deep Creek Lake, Wisp, that whole area. But that area has now become even more Washington and Baltimore than Pittsburgh. But, I get it. Look, 25 years ago, Frederick County was a Redskins dominant county. You'd agree with that, right? Okay, we lost him. Junkyard Dog, rivalry, Baltimore-Washington, yes or no?
No way, no rivalry at all. You know, Baltimore's is a rivalry, like you said, is always on the football field. And yeah, we had Norm Snead back in the day, and we had then we got the great Sonny Jurgensen, but they always had the Unitas and Jimmy Orr and Maddie and all them. So, you know, it was a no contest or whatever. You know, they used to beat us like a drum. Or whatever, and I'm certainly older than the young guy to answer the phone and you, or whatever. So
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it is.
I don't remember the Redskins-Colts history. You know, I remember a couple of games they played each other. They actually played two Monday night games against each other in the 70s. One was in a driving rainstorm in Baltimore.
Right.
But Baltimore won both of those games. And then one, Burt Jones had a great game and beat us on Monday Night Football as well. But, you know, those were not, you know, our rivals obviously were the Cowboys then. And for the Colts' rivals were really the Dolphins. You know, you had all those great games between the Colts and the Dolphins in the AFC East right. during the 70s.
Right, so. Right. And one more thing, Kevin.
Yeah.
I heard you mentioned Mason, that you got Mason on your fantasy team. I got him as well, but I also acquired Tank Bigsby.
I was not able to acquire Tank Bigsby. So let's root for Jordan Mason to have a big game tonight. Thanks, Junkyard. All right. Overwhelmingly on the X poll. Thankfully, I'm glad that we have a sense of reality here. This game's not a rivalry game. It's a big game, though. And we will spend most of tomorrow previewing that game. But up next, we will talk to Brian DiArdo from CBS Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the game Sunday and a couple of the other big ones around the league. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. Sunday, 1 p.m., as big a game as this franchise has had this early in the season, as I've been saying all week, in decades. Brian DiArdo covers the NFL for CBSSports.com. You can follow Brian on X at Brian DiArdo, D-E, capital A-R-D-O. Brian was actually in Cincinnati for the Ravens game on Sunday that they were able to pull off 41-38. So you saw them up close. What are your first thoughts about the matchup Sunday with Washington?
Wade, thanks for having me on, as always. And, I was there. Oh, for sure. And I was there. And, what I saw was a Ravens team that was able to match fire with fire. I mean, it was clear, at the start of the second half that the Bengals offense had found their rhythm. And we had seen that in previous weeks as soon as T. Higgins had come back. But my question was, does Baltimore have the horses to stay with them in this track meet? And they did. They were quick hitting. I think one of the biggest surprises with Baltimore is, with Mark Andrews being down, you would think, okay, well, they're not getting much production from the tight end position. Well, that's not true at all. They had their third-string tight end, who I had quite frankly barely heard of until Sunday, had a 55-yard catch. That, to me, was the turning point in that game. They had just fallen behind by 10. They make that big play. They score very quickly to make it a three-point game. And at that point, it was on. And, Isaiah Likely talked to him after the game. I said, well, you might have one of the best tight end. He stopped me mid-sentence and said, no, we have the best. So, you look at their receivers and you think, okay, well, kind of the same old story. There's a little bit lacking there. But they make up for it with the tight ends. And they make up for it with the running game. And Derrick Henry, in my opinion, I mean, that guy it should be in any MVP conversation you're having. The irony was, on Sunday in Cincinnati, really was a non-story until the 51-yard run in overtime. And yeah, that was it. I think he had four carries in the second half prior to that. So, and that was the perfect play call, right? I mean, the thing that really excites me about this matchup, though, you have obviously both quarterbacks, similar type quarterbacks, even though I don't think either one wants to admit that, I think was the story out of Washington. Yes. Was that Jaden doesn't want to be compared. But I think, too, you've got two defenses that have some question marks, even though Washington's come back and it's played great the last 2 weeks defensively. You wonder, who's going to win that matchup, who's going to get the key turnovers on defense. But just a super exciting game, very well-coached team. The two teams that are getting really good efforts from offensive lines that had question marks going into the season.
You know, Brian, in watching that game Sunday, I went back and watched the Baltimore game I'm talking about. I just was so impressed with Lamar, because what they weren't running the football like they had been with Derrick Henry. 51 of his 90-whatever yards came on that one run in overtime. And they got after him with blitz pressure, with extra man, 5-6-man pressures. And he hung in there, and he threw really good balls from the pocket. I think, we've all wanted to see that with Lamar, especially in the postseason. I thought he delivered from the pocket over and over again on Sunday.
No, I couldn't agree more. And it was a lot of what, after the game, Zach Taylor, obviously their defense is historically bad, and he's been getting buried. But he stopped, you know, and I thought said something appropriate where a lot of that was a lot of what Lamar Jackson was able to do. And to your point, I mean, they were doing a pretty decent job in the first half. It was a lower-scoring first half. They had the lead. They actually had a safety on Derrick Henry in the end zone. The Bengals did to get 2 points. So they were doing a good job controlling them. But yeah, I mean, they kind of unleashed him in the second half. I think once it became a 10-point game, once I think they knew this is going to be a track meet, Joe Burrow is humming, they let him go. And I agree. I mean, his pocket presence has gotten a lot better, and I actually watched the Browns game when I knew I was coming on the show with you guys, and I think Deshaun gives you maybe a little bit of an appetite for what you're going to see. He's a good, you know, driving range, get some practice in, but obviously the Browns they're a mess right now, but you know, Deshaun was able to extend plays against Washington and was able to do some things, and I think that was good practice for Washington. But yeah, I mean, now I will say this again though. And Lamar would admit it. I mean, he takes chances, right? He takes chances. That touchdown pass to Isaiah Likely late in the game was a risk. There's no other way to say it. It was an amazing play by him, but it was a risk. It was a risk, right? And in overtime, he did have that, you know, he was trying to rush the snap. He was looking at the play clock, right? Yeah. He fumbled the ball. And so there are mistakes like that you wonder if those things continue, a good team like Washington should be able to pounce on that, and they should be able to capitalize. And I wonder if Washington is going to try to shorten the game with Austin Ekeler, with Robinson, because that's the one thing the Bengals also, I know you watched it, you saw it. Neither team really was having a lot of success running, and I think that allowed Baltimore to have more opportunities with possessions to match Cincinnati's scoring. So I wonder if Washington will try to run the ball in an effort to limit the amount of time that Jackson's on the field.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Baltimore defensively, pretty stout against the run. But, I mean, you know, you mentioned the first half. I mean, for Chase to be that wide open with 11 seconds to go in a half where you're trying not to give up the big play, maybe you'll give up the field goal attempt. They have struggled, Baltimore has, in coverage, and Washington right now, along with Baltimore, has been just lethal offensively in both ways. You know, explosive plays, also methodically, you know, moving the football down the field. So I'm curious as to what you think Washington's offense throwing the football will be against Baltimore.
It's going to be, I think the big plays are going to be there, but if you look at how they attacked, the Bengals did. And you said it. I mean, it was amazing that Chase was able to get open like that. So I think the amazing play to me was Burrow's touchdown to Yoshivash, who's their third-string receiver. Because I was looking around the field.
It wasn't a touchdown. That was the throw down to the two-yard line, right?
Correct. Thank you. Yes, yeah. Thank you for that. Yes, yes. Yeah, but it was a throw that I'm thinking, where is he going with this thing? So he gave his receiver a chance. But where I'm getting at with Washington is their receivers should be good enough to get past Baltimore's defense. And I mentioned Yoshivash because I think Deami Brown can do the same thing. And I know he had that amazing touchdown this past week against Cleveland. So I think this could be a game where, yeah, McLaurin's going to get his looks. He's going to get his touches. I think, to me, this would be a good game for Brown to exploit the lack of depth that Baltimore has. But you also saw one of Chase's touchdowns was just on a nice, simple bubble screen, and he made some nice moves. So I would, personally for Washington, would try to get guys like McLaurin, guys like Brown out in space and let them go one-on-one with Baltimore's defense because, and this is not something you normally say about a John Harbaugh defense, not the greatest tackling unit, especially you know, on the back end. So if you can get them out in space, and I think that you know, Washington's absolutely going to try to do that. And you again, you look at, you know, when I watched that game, you know, the unique formations I saw in the backfield, the disguises they made, how Daniels is managing himself overall and how he's running that offense. One other thing I'll say quickly, I think that Zach Ertz also could be a weapon in this game as well. And I think Cincinnati would have done better getting their tight ends more involved, but that's been an ongoing issue there for years. So it could be a situation there where I think that Jaden might look his way a little bit more and try to stretch this defense out. But I think the big plays will be available, but I also would do make a concerted effort to get my guys open in open space and let my playmakers try to break some tackles and stretch them out that way too.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point just about the tight ends because I know Jake Ferguson had a big game against Baltimore. That game was kind of over, and then the Cowboys, you know, roared back there at the end. Brock Bowers had a monster game against Baltimore. Give me Brian, and we're talking to Brian DiArdo from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Just give me your overall, you know, thoughts on what Washington has been through five games, and then whether or not you think they've got a legitimate shot to win Sunday at M&T Bank.
Well, I went into the season, they were kind of my sleeper team.
I remember you telling us that, yeah, during the off season.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate this, though. I don't know how many people did, but I did think they'd be good. I thought Daniels would be good. But, yeah, I mean, I think – do they have a chance to win? Absolutely. This is the best team that the Baltimore Ravens are going to see. As good as Cincinnati's offense is, their defense has just been – has been atrocious, right? And so this is going to be the best, most complete team that the Ravens are seeing. And I think
really?
My take on –
They played Kansas City and Buffalo.
Yeah, but I think as far as where we are right now in the season, I think Washington's better than Buffalo. Kansas City's a good point. It's hard to say Washington's better than the Chiefs, but I think they're going to present a challenge that's much tougher than what Baltimore faced, because Baltimore's, you know, they're very familiar with Kansas City, right? The AFC Championship game last year. They kind of know what you're going to get. It's like when you watch a sitcom that's been on for 10 years. You know what you're getting with the Chiefs. Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones, we all know, right? But Washington, they've never seen them before. So this is a new meal. This is a new sitcom. They don't know exactly what they're going to see. And I think, you know, for that offense, by far that offense is going to be the biggest challenge that they've seen. Because, again, you know what you're getting with the Chiefs. But Jayden Daniels, I mean, you know, that play last week when he broke the tackle and threw that bomb to McLaurin was an unbelievable play. And I don't think there was much else Cleveland could have done better on that drive. And then you look at the fact that he threw a pick, I think, later on that drive, shook it off. I just think how Jayden Daniels is operating that offense, how he knows when to give up on a play. Because I was really worried about his longevity this season, because he took a massive shot against the Bengals on that game-winning touchdown pass. But when I watched the Browns game, I think I recall only one time that I actually see him take a hard hit. So if you can keep him healthy, which he's doing a very good job of doing, you can keep defenses, uncomfortable and honest with the running game, because that's another thing I love about Washington. They never stray too far away from that running game. They're getting exceptional blocking. I think Eckler was a great pickup. He's a very good complete back. I mean, yeah, could they use another number three receiver? Could they use a little bit more depth there? Absolutely. But every team's got that. Defensively, I'd like to see the secondary do more. I think no interceptions this year. They've allowed 11 touchdowns. I'm not that concerned with their running game, because I think a lot of teams just do that in some of these convincing wins they've had. So I'm not too concerned there. This is a playoff team, though. I'm convinced in that. I don't think the NFC East is terribly good, and Washington is a slam dunk playoff team.
Well, I mean, just, you know, making the comment, you took it back with the Chiefs, and I'm glad you did. But still, the idea that you had in your mind that this is Baltimore's toughest opponent, I mean, what is possible? The playoffs would seem to be the lower end of possible for you. What do you think's possible for Washington?
I mean, they could absolutely at least, you know, win a playoff game and go deep. Would I take them to get out of the NFC? I mean, that's going to be tricky, because I think the Niners are the most complete team. But what quarterback is playing better than Jayden Daniels right now? I mean, you know, Lamar Jackson is none. Right, none. I mean, yeah. So I think he's having the best rookie season I've ever seen, and I think anybody's ever seen to this point. I mean, he's blown away what C.J. Stroud did last year. You look at Ben Roethlisberger, you know, undefeated as a rookie 20 years ago, but he didn't have the numbers. Or the defense, you know, he had a better defense and he didn't have the numbers that Daniel's putting up, right? So they're going to go as far as he can go, really. And I think that defense, if you know, they've proven against inferior teams, they can dominate you. They dominated the Browns offense. They've dominated other offenses. I think Arizona was a really impressive one the week before, because Kyler Murray's playing really well. That was a surprise to me. I thought Arizona would give Washington a little bit of a challenge. But Washington's also proven with the Bengal game, we can win shootouts too. And I think that's maybe an underrated part of what Washington's doing. We can win in grudge matches and we can win in shootouts too. So we'll play any way you want to go. And I think that's, to me, the most dangerous thing about them. But there's no team I look at in the NFC and I say, oh, well, there's no way Washington can beat them. I mean, to me, the Niners are still the standard Bears, but we're seeing. I mean, McCaffrey's been banged up.
Well, tonight's a big game for them.
It's a huge game. Yeah. So my answer is I would, if I was a Commanders fan, I'd be disappointed with the first round exit. I think obviously going to the playoffs is a great thing and that shouldn't be, just pushed away. But I think you can set your sights higher. That's just my opinion.
We're talking to Brian DiArdo from CBSSports.com. So, yeah, you mentioned, by the way, and Jaden was very respectful because he's a big Lamar Jackson fan. He just doesn't want to be compared to him. And Lamar said nice things about Jaden, et cetera. I actually don't think Lamar is the best comp for Jaden, but that's another conversation altogether. You know, if Washington were to go in and win and Jaden plays at the same level that he's played for the last 3 weeks in particular, where would he be come Monday morning on the MVP odds list?
He's got to be in the top three. He has
he's
to be
in the top five now.
Yeah, and I think you could start having that conversation. And my question is, who cares if he's a rookie? If people hold that against him, and then I don't know, then we should just eliminate rookies from being in contention, right? Like, to me, that could be the only thing that you could hold against him is that he's a rookie, and that, well, he's going to win rookie of the year. Why can't he win both? And you know, I think if Joe Burrow and the Bengals had more wins, I would give him much, you know, a lot of consideration because his numbers are astronomical this season as well. Yeah. But I think he's got to be the front runner. I mean, I love Derrick Henry, but running backs haven't won it in a dozen years. I don't think a running back's going to win it this year. There's really no one in the NFC that sticks out. I mean, to me right now, it's kind of between, you know, Lamar, it's between Daniels, and if you want to throw Henry in there, you can. Burrow and the Bengals need to win more games, so you could put him
Mahomes
in as the front
right
runner.
Mahomes, if they keep winning, yeah. Mahomes be, you know, and then C.J. Stroud's pretty damn good, too. We got a long way to go. There's so many storylines always in the NFL, and we're just at week six. And let me just quickly ask you a couple of questions about the league. This story out of New York that Todd Downing's taking over the play calling for Nathaniel Hackett, I am assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that Aaron Rodgers had to say, this is okay.
I think there's a lot of stuff going on there that Aaron Rodgers is not happy about. And so I don't know. And he said this on McAfee, and he goes, I think some people think I have more power than I have. And I might start to think that might be true. I think that they might start making power moves over him. I mean, he did say he begrudgingly accepted it. But him and Hackett are boys, as I know that you know. And yeah. So I actually think that they might just be making power moves and not necessarily caring as much. So it could turn into like a Brady New England situation where they're making decisions he might not necessarily be happy with. But, yeah, it was a kind of a surprising decision. But yeah, I don't – this is going to end bad. And I think that Rodgers, when we look back, we're going to say that guy stayed around maybe 3 or 4 years too long.
Interesting. The 49ers are 2-3. I already mentioned this is a big game for them tonight. Do they have to win, falling two games behind Seattle at this point in the season? It's recoverable, but they're still banged up.
It's recoverable, but I do think they need to win. And also, when you look at Seattle, they're kind of down right now, too. They started out really hot. They've lost some games here, I think. And they really need to show everybody they can close out games. They've lost 3 games by 10 points. That loss to the Rams team that was almost going to call you and I to go in and play receiver for them, like, that was an inexcusable loss. So I think you could chalk it up as a must win, but they still have, you know, the great pass rushers. And I think the secret behind their six, you know, their team, Ayuk is actually starting to play like a player that is making the money he's making. So you look at him, Jennings, Ayuk, Kittle. I mean, even with Samuel, if he's banged up, that's still such a deep team. That's why, to me, they're still the standard bearer in that conference. But I think they will win tonight because I think they're just too good to fall 2 games under 500.
Gotta run. Love talking to you. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Brian.
Anytime. Thank you.
Brian DiArdo from CBS Sports. Thanks to him. He was great on the show today. We had Charch on the show today as well. We had Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell was excellent in the first hour of the show. If you want to listen to the show, any part of the show, download it on the Odyssey app or just go to theteam980.com. And if you are listening to the podcast of the show, rate us and review us and follow us on Apple and Spotify. It helps us out a lot. Chris Russell has Jeremy Chin. He'll be on the show, so stay tuned for that. Back tomorrow for a huge Football Friday show.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.